In today's reading, God presents himself to us as the God of hope, or the only one who is never too late in dealing with earth's circumstances. And the reason why he is never too late is because he doesn't only exist in the realm of time, but that he also exists in the realm of eternity. He's known as the one who created time out of the realm of eternity. This is why the Genesis account gives us a description of the earth's condition before it was formed or beautified, or even before anything, before time came into existence. And in that account, it tells us that it was empty and voided. And as we read through the text, it tells us also that there was the first day and the second day and the third day. This was when time came into existence. It was when God decided to create this world for us. And this is also why he introduces himself to us as the Alpha and the Omega, which doesn't mean that he has a beginning and an end, but rather that he holds the beginning of time and the end of time in his hands. Something that the Jewish people did not understand about Jesus when they argued with him that he was not even as old as Abraham was, and was claiming that Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. And they said, "You're not even 50 years old yet. And here you are talking about Abraham rejoicing," because they didn't understand the fact that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, that he was there in the beginning of time. The reason why he can be accredited as the God of hope is because he lives having absolute control over the beginning and the end of time. As a matter of fact, he proved this to be true by taking on death in a one-on-one contest. We talk about death because death is man's greatest enemy. When death shows up, hopelessness shows up along with it. And so death becomes man's greatest enemy. But we see Jesus both in the cases of Lazarus and the case of the cross. We see Jesus in a one-on-one contest with death. And in Lazarus' situation, he was dead for almost 4 days, and Jesus brings him back to life. And in his own situation where he went on the cross and died for the sin of man, we see Jesus come back to life. So he defeated death, man's greatest enemy, on that cross, which now brings to us a scripture like John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We get scripture like Matthew 28:19-20, where it tells us to go and make disciples of men, and bringing them in and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is because God came into our world in what seemed to be the most hopeless situation the man ever has to face, which is dying and eternal destruction. He came and he erased that on the cross of Calvary. And so this is one of the reasons why today in the second service we're going to be baptizing leader Oliver Ragler, because of what Jesus did on the cross. So if you're here today and is experiencing some level of hopelessness, I have been sent with this message to encourage you that we have a hope and we have a God who lives beyond and is ahead of all of our circumstances. He is called faithful, and he is also called able. He's able to change any situation. He has come so that he give us hope in the time of hopelessness. He has even gone ahead of us into eternity to prepare a better place for us. And this is the reason why we chose for a theme today, seeing hope beyond hopelessness. Seeing hope beyond hopelessness. Today, in both the Old Testament and the Gospel reading, we see about real life circumstances where God is bringing back life in dead situations. We see that in the story of the widow whose son dies, and Elijah brings this baby back to life, this child back to life, by going to God in prayer. Scripture says three times he went before God in prayer for this child. We see it in the life of this young man who died and was brought out of the city called Nain and was being taken to the cemetery. And Jesus meets them on the road. And Jesus brings this young man back to life and gives him back to his mother. Today we want to look at the story in the gospel today and see how this story impacts our lives. The first thing we want to look at in the story is the condition of the story. The condition of the story, as was read, we look in verse 12 of the text. And it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. The first thing you see in this part of the verse is a lifeless condition. A lifeless condition. The actual name of the town, Nain, means beauty. But this day, it wasn't beautiful at all. We see something else is happening here. We see that death has changed what was life and what was beautiful into something else. And people are crying, and people are mourning, and people are discouraged, and the mother is discouraged. And we see a situation that is not a good one at all. This is the gift that we get from Satan. This is the gift he gives. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6, verse 23a. And so sin brings death our way. And death comes to destroy everything around us. Not just our lives, but our achievements, the things that we try to do in life. Death comes to destroy it. Death is man's most common enemy. So he gave it to our first parents. The devil gave it to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And he is still, in a very deceptive way, deceiving men and people today, giving them this same gift of death. Scripture says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he is very busy trying to destroy humanity. He is very busy trying to destroy our lives, our gifts, our relationship. Whatever he can get his hands on, the devil wants to destroy it. And so we see a lifeless situation, not just a lifeless situation, but we see a hopeless mother as well. The Bible says here that death had robbed her of her husband first, from what we read in the text. And now in this situation, it also robs her of her son. And so you look here and you see that she had been robbed of her protection and provision in this situation. Why do we say that? Is because back in those days, the father was always responsible, or the husband was responsible, to take care of his wife. The women did not work. It was the man's responsibility to take care of his family. And if the father dies or the husband dies, the oldest son becomes the one responsible to take care of the family. And so the only one left for her was her son. And now death had taken him away. So this woman was not only in pain, but this woman had been left hopeless. She had been left with no protection. She had been left with no provision. Do you feel lost this morning? These situations happen in our lives where things turn out not to be so good, and we lost our relationships. We lost our character in life. We lost our good health and many things in this life. And sometimes it leaves us very discouraged. It leaves us very disappointed. It leaves us very hopeless. And I feel that this is the reason why God comes into our world. We also see a helpless crowd. The crowd was helpless in the sense that they could not give back his life. The only thing they could do at this time was to empathize with or sympathize with her. And they could not give back her joy. Death is a condition that is naturally irreversible. And this we see in this situation. This is why the doctors can only fight for life when there is a sign of life. In the situation where there is no sign of life, the doctors give up hope and can do nothing beyond that. And so we find in the situation that the whole town could not help this woman's situation. She was in a very desperate place. And the only thing they could do with her at this time was to sympathize with her. Today we live in a world where in their hopelessness, many people have thrown in the towel, living their lives with their heads facing towards the cemetery of eternal destruction, and do not know anything else or how to prevent that. But I have come this morning with a message from God to let you know that God wants to stop your funeral procession and bring you back into eternal life and bring us all back. And this is what his ministry on earth is all about. Bringing men and plucking them out of darkness and bringing them into his marvelous light. And bring life back to every circumstance in our lives is what God is about. Let's look at the next point, is the compassion in this story. In verses 13 and 14 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The first thing we see in the text is his feelings, and that is the feelings of Jesus. The story says that his heart went out to her. That's compassion, my friends. And that's the compassion that our Lord and Savior holds in his heart for all of us. And that's that compassion that took him on the cross when he died for the sin of the world. It was that compassion that caused him to look down and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. It was in our hopelessness and carelessness that Jesus came into our world and went on the cross and died for our sins. The story says his heart went out to her. And this morning there are many in our world today who Jesus Christ is looking at, and his heart is going out towards those people. And they are hurt, and he is hurt this morning. And he cares about every need and every heartbreak and every problem that we face in this life. The scripture lets us know that his mercies are made new every morning. And the reason Jesus has to make new mercy every morning is because we live in a world that is full of trouble. And so he comes with compassion and he comes with mercy towards us. Not just his feeling, but his touching in the story. Jesus touched the coffin and they were carrying him on, the scripture says. And the hands of Jesus is like the potter's hands. It is that hand that touches and builds and makes and remakes. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8b, it says, we are the clay and you are the potter, and we are all the work of the hand of God, the text tells us. So it is a touch, that touch from Jesus, a touch from him that brings renewed hope and joy in us. And when we sing this song, he touched me, and oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. This is where it comes from, because the touch of Jesus comes with such a joy and relief. The next thing is his healing. There is life and healing in the words of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, young man, get up. And at that command, things changed. Friends, listen to me. And the word of God lives. And that word is what we have today. The Word of God has been given to us to change our circumstances. The Word of God has been given to us to give us courage where there is discouragement. The Word of God has been given to us to give us possibilities where there are impossibilities. This is what God's Word is doing in our time and age. In Matthew 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We do not live by bread alone, my friends, but we live by the words of the living God. It is this word that we live by. It is the word that brings us eternal life. It is the word that keeps us abiding in eternal life. It is the word of the living God. This word has come so that it would take away death and bring life and bring eternal life, my friends. And this is what God is about in our world today. Last point for this morning is the comfort in the text. In Luke 7, 15, the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, Jesus, they said, God has come to help his people. So there are three things that we get out of God's comfort. And these three things we're giving at this very moment. The first one is the revival that happened there when they came in contact with the comfort that God brings to them. The dead man sat up again and talked. That was a revival. You see, by the spoken word, what was dead is now revived. And this is what happens when faith is activated in us as we hear God's word. The part of us that was dead becomes alive, and it becomes activated because of this comfort that the word of God brings to every person who comes in contact with it. The next thing is the recovery. It doesn't only bring revival, but it brings with it a recovery. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So what was lost was replaced, had been replaced. And always, as the scripture tells us, that God says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Many times, folks will run away from God and say that I am no good, or nothing good can come out of me. A God doesn't need me. A God can do no good with me. But my friends, I'm telling you, when we come in contact with the comfort that God brings to us, we meet God in revival. We don't only meet him in revival, but we meet him in a time of recovery. And he restores the years that has been taken away from us by the evil one. It's what God does. And last thing he does is he gives us relief. All of the burdens, all of the pains that she was carrying came to an instant end when she came in contact with the comfort of Jesus Christ. All of the mournings stopped. All of the grieving stopped because she came in contact with Jesus Christ. The people were filled with awe, the scripture says. That means they were amazed at what had happened. And this is always the response that one gets when he or she comes in contact with Jesus. Because our lives are never the same again. We look at ourselves from the moment we meet Jesus, new life for us begin, and we are never the same again. And this is exactly what happened in this story. And it's the same Jesus that comes to us in worship this morning. He comes to lift our burdens. He comes to give us renewed hope and restore the years that has been eaten by the locusts. We pray that these words this morning would comfort your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen.